I always find that urban design, it lies in that sweet spot between architecture, which is the practice of building a building or designing a building, rather, and then urban planning, which is much more of a regional scale of looking at cities and there's as a system. And so urban design, I admire an internationally famous urban designer, Jan Gehl, who says that urban design is the life between buildings, and that's really a beautiful way of describing what we do.
Mm-hmm. I think it really brings in the human element of placemaking, this life between buildings that Eric mentioned. I think, traditionally architects look just at the building and the facade and how the inside of the building works. And I think, for me, what has always drawn me to urban design is that there's this whole life outside of buildings that is our public realm, and that's the connective tissue of our communities, and that it really reflects our society and our values, and that space is where we can really celebrate space for people. It's not really just about design. Urban design brings in that human element that I think architecture has traditionally lacked or not focused on as well, particularly in academia.
Welcome to part one of a two-part episode with our friends from the Chattanooga Design Studio. In this first part of our conversation, we discuss the importance of urban design for a thriving community and look at the range of their work within Chattanooga, both presently and historically. In many ways, it is urban designers who have helped facilitate how the fabric of our built environment is shaped. And so I hope you find this conversation as informative and inspiring as I did. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Busby. Well, everyone, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Well, today I have almost the entire team of the Chattanooga Design Studio here in the studio at the library to talk about urban design, to talk about their organization and some of the projects they're involved in. And I think we'll spend a lot of time towards the end talking about the South Broad project that was just released about 2 weeks ago. But before we really get into that, I need to introduce everybody that's in the room. And so we're going to go around clockwise, and we'll start with Eric. Eric, you're the leader of this ship. Tell us about yourself.
Hey, Matt. My name's Eric Myers. I'm the executive director at the Chattanooga Design Studio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lindsay Wilkie. I am the most recent employee at the Chattanooga Design Studio. Started in January as the urban design coordinator.
And I'm Sally Morrow. I'm an urban designer at the studio.
Well, great. Well, longtime listeners of the podcast aren't going to be unfamiliar with the Chattanooga Design Studio. We did a couple episodes at the very beginning with Christian Rushing, who's the founder of your guys' iteration of the Chattanooga Design Studio. But I have a feeling there's a lot of new listeners who probably didn't go back and start at the beginning of the podcast now that we're about 70 episodes in. And so I do want to take a lot of time to kind of explain to the community who you guys are as an organization and kind of what your role is within the city. But first of all, I do want to figure this out. So you guys are urban design, but everybody I know involved in urban design are also architects. So do all of you have backgrounds in architecture?
To me, I think many urban designers have backgrounds in architecture. It's a logical fit because the structure of cities is inherently built upon the buildings in which face and frame our public realm. So it's a logical fit.
I think it's also a little bit of a creative gateway. So it puts you in the mind frame of the city as a process that evolves, and it's one piece at a time coming together. So the systematic way of thinking in architecture, I think, translates really well to the way that cities develop and grow iteratively over time. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think we all have to admit to having backgrounds in architecture, but I think, like they've mentioned, it's a natural starting point. But a lot of professions, urban planners can be urban designers. Landscape architects are great urban designers. It's really this very hybrid field that draws from a lot of different disciplines, and architects, I think, are naturally drawn to the field. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I mean, I actually just want to push you guys a little bit further on this. So architecture, it's very clear. Architects design buildings. So with that in mind, kind of give people a definition of what urban design is, because you know you started to go there. It's more than just the building; it's the spaces sort of in between. But keep going in that direction. What is urban design?
Sure, I'll peel off the top layer. I always find that urban design, it lies in that sweet spot between architecture, which is the practice of building a building or designing a building rather. And then urban planning, which is much more of a regional scale of looking at cities and there's as a system. And so urban design, I admire an internationally famous urban designer, Jan Gehl, who says that urban design is the life between buildings. And that's really a beautiful way of describing what we do.
Mm-hmm. And I think it really brings in the human element of placemaking, this life between buildings that Eric mentioned. I think, you know, traditionally architects look just at the building and the facade and how the inside of the building works. And I think, you know, for me, what has always drawn me to urban design is that there's this whole life outside of buildings that is our public realm, and that's the connective tissue of our communities, and that it really reflects our society and our values, and that space is where we can really celebrate space for people. It's not really just about design. Urban design brings in that human element that I think architecture has traditionally lacked or not focused on as well, particularly in academia.
Yeah, I mean, most of the people I work with urban design, human scale is always something that seems to come up, because like you said, with architects, they're almost focused on building monuments sometimes, whereas urban planning, you know, you're thinking of massive districts and zoning, mm-hmm. and the human element of everything can get lost in that sort mm-hmm. of confusion.
Yeah,
to me, urban design addresses that exactly what you said, that people space, and it's the sociology of architecture on a grand scale, right, where it's about an isolated site, but it's a reflection of the community. It's not about control or small movements. It's about how those larger pieces come together, how individual actions or interests of people that live in the city can come together to shape the fabric between individual projects.
So talk about the Chattanooga Design Studio. You know, I guess why do you guys exist in Chattanooga? Why do we need some sort of formal structure like what you guys provide to the city? Why is that such a huge benefit for Chattanooga? To be clear, I think it is, but I want to hear you guys say it.
Thanks, Matt. We are an independent nonprofit urban design studio, and obviously we rely on several resources in which to do our work on a collaborative basis, and we find that we strike a balance between what private sector interests are interested in doing, which is developing private land or aiming towards one site and the interests of one site, and the interests of the city, which are at a grander scale. We try to strike a balance between that at all times and make sure that those interests are happening collaboratively, and they're happening with the broadest scale possible, and that they're happening with the widest lens. And what I mean by that is that they're being affected at a block scale or at a larger scale than just one increment at a time. And that's what the studio can really can provide balance for. And we do that through several means. We always say we educate, we advocate, and facilitate. And those are three really broad terms. But in educating, we educate both students that come to the studio and the general public. You know, we advocate, we stand up for projects that are meaningful for our city, that are providing the delicate balance that I'm talking about. And we also will sometimes say things that should guide projects in a better manner, that look more for more balance. And then we directly facilitate projects like Miller Park with the city to make sure that they provide the quality that is deserving of our city, and that they're open and meaningful for everyone in our city.
I think there's a lot of intentionality baked into our work, and because urban design is so interdisciplinary, to have an organization that is focused on bringing all of these diverse interests and fields of expertise together at the same time to solve a problem or address issues in our city, it's really helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really does feel like you guys stand in a gap between the developers and the city, because like I said, you guys want to be looking out for how are these larger projects fitting in with the future life of our city and the people who live here now. And so in some ways, it feels like maybe you should be a city entity, but I can see real advantages to where you guys are not associated with the city, because it allows you to play that sort of middleman role between these different institutions. So do you guys feel like at times you're just glorified networkers and convening meetings and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, I would say yes, but I think that's an exciting and really important piece of what we do. I mean, there's been, as you've mentioned, so many great investments in our city. I mean, building on the legacy of the former studio, which we'll get into that story in a minute. The investments that we've made that have been critical to the life and success of our city, whether it's the waterfront or the heart of our city at Miller Park, which is undergoing a renovation right now. And then you see a lot of the growth and development that's downtown and, you know, in the south side and really spread throughout the city. The city is attracting a lot of new people. But, you know, as the city grows and develops, who is it that's looking out for the collective vision? And I think as the studio is kind of flexing its muscles and really getting up and rolling again, we're trying to figure out where our role and where our place is. But I think that that we're starting to find our voice in that in-between space that is really important as we are conveners between a lot of different ideas going on in our city.
Yeah, and you know you brought it up there, and so let's that's a good transition, Lindsay. But let's talk about this Chattanooga Design Studio as it stands now is only what, 2-3 years old? This current iteration of the design studio is 2 or 3 years
old. We were formed in 2015.
Yes. However, you guys stand on the legacy of the historic design studio, which existed in Chattanooga from 1980 to 2005, founded by Strad Watson. So talk about that legacy, because I don't think most people really know sort of the foundations of your organization.
I appreciate that. I am actually in Chattanooga originally. I'm from Maryland. And I'm in Chattanooga originally because of the Legacy Studio. I came here in the mid-90s as a study abroad program from the University of Tennessee. I was at the School of Architecture at Tennessee. And study abroad is kind of a hilarious term.
Yeah.
Right? Study abroad from Knoxville.
Couple hours away.
But it was affordable for me, and I knew nothing of urban design. And I met Strad Watson through that program. And I can tell you that it was exactly what I needed to be infused with during that part of my college career. And ultimately, you know, the story is, I stayed. And I stayed on several summers at the studio doing summer internships. Traveled through Tennessee practicing architecture. And ultimately, when the first urban design coordinator, Rob Taylor, left the studio, Stroud called me and asked if I would come in and interview for his seat. And that was in late 90s. So in the late 90s, I came and worked here professionally through that organization. But that organization, remember, had already begun. So in 1981, it was begun as a storefront on Vine Street with the first students from University of Tennessee. Probably 5 to 7 students a spring looking at the city in these very, very intentional ways and studying the city as a fabric, as a structure, as an ecosystem, and trying to pull apart all of the various threads and commonalities and urban design structure that they could and identify that to the community in a very, very raw basis. And so from 1981 to 2005, that studio operated and had students every single spring putting together visions for what our community could be. And I can't tell you how valuable that really has been. And it surprises me doing what I'm doing now that more people don't know about it, because those students and their innocent visions helped us crack our minds open to what the realm of possibility is in our city. And that's invaluable. It's incredibly invaluable. I don't even know how many of these types of studios exist across the country. This is such a unique thing that Stroud built. And I'm very honored to be a part of it. I'm honored there's more legacy to this, and I'm trying to shorten the story as much as possible. So when Christian put together a feasibility study in 2014 to see if this community was ready for a restart of something like the Urban Design Studio. He quickly got momentum behind that, and in 15 was capitalized by the Ben Wood Foundation, the Lyndhurst Foundation, and then followed by the Footprint Foundation. And that's when the organization gained its momentum. And as many in the community know, it's a very tragic story, but within months of him being appointed and the studio getting momentum, he was diagnosed with gallbladder cancer. And we were fortunate to have 2 years with him. Everyone should know that we were close. We were super close, personally and professionally, hyper close. Nickname close is what I always say to folks. And we were super fortunate to have that much time with him and that much foundational work at our current studio, that when he resigned in January and passed in February of 2017, the executive committee made an ask to me. There had been some talk of a national search, but there wasn't a deep appetite for a national search for to fulfill his position. And so they made an ask at that point in time. And I remember saying something crazy to the point of, I think there are 10 things that need to happen, because I was in private practice at the time. And all of those 10 things happened in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So this is a very meant to be situation. Yeah. But no, I believe a lot in the legacy of our studio, obviously, and I share that story as much as I can because I'm a part of it.
Yeah, and so, you know, Eric mentioned Christian Rushing there, and if you go back into the archives of our podcast, you know, you'll find, I think it was episode 3 and 4 were two episodes with Christian. One is really the precursor to this conversation. It's about the studio, you know, kind of asking some of the same questions I'm asking today, but also we did a whole episode on his living life with cancer, because the most amazing thing about Christian Rushing is if you ever saw him in the midst of this diagnosis and you asked him how he was doing, you know, he would look at you and smile and say, living the dream. And so that's the title of that episode. It was fantastic. We love, he's just had such a huge impact on the city. And but, you know, the other thing you talk about there with the legacy of the design studio, you're right. It's really unfortunate. I don't think a lot of people understand the role the design studio played in the Renaissance of Chattanooga. But really what happened in the early 1980s was the Moxenbend Task Force basically went up to UT Knoxville and invited Strahd Watson to say, hey, we want you to use Chattanooga as a lab. Like, we need you to bring architecture students down here. We need to reimagine the future of our city. And it created this incredible 25-year relationship. And, you know, Eric, you're the fruit of that project. So that's really incredible to hear.
I think, you know, coming at it from the perspective of a 20-something to the ripple effect of that generation of people who moved here because they were passionate about the city and had that firsthand, we can do this, you know, look at this vision, we can set it and then it can happen. So to learn from them has been huge for me. And those are the people now leading the field of architecture that had empowering experiences as students that they're bringing into practice. And I think it's really transformed the field of architecture and the way that we see city building in Chattanooga beyond just the work of the design studio too.
For myself, it's, as I mentioned, I'm new to the studio as of January. I'm actually new to Chattanooga as of, is it 2016? So coming up on 2 years, and as a newcomer to the city, originally from the southeast, though, it's really humbling to think about what we're building on, and the giants that have really built this city, from Strahd Watson and Christian Rushing, and there's so many names that keep popping up in this city that, oh, have you met this person? Yeah. Have you met this person? It's like, wow, there
I
are.
I mean, you would think it's a small town at the rate that happens.
But it's always so surprising the names that you keep hearing. You know, the names that have been really pivotal in shaping the city. So, as a person who's relatively new to this city, who moved to Chattanooga because of the quality of life that I saw the city had to offer, it's an exciting place to be. But I come at it from a you know, for better or worse, a fresh perspective. And so I don't really, you know, I think it's great that as our director, we have someone that's seen the history and the arc of the studio. But, you know, my background is in architecture, but I think I realized pretty early on, I look back even at one of my freshman studio projects at Georgia Tech, and I think about it was a streetscape study, and I actually didn't end up doing a streetscape study, but I ended up doing a people study of the street. And so I look back on that like that was it. That was where it started. I wasn't interested in documenting the buildings or understanding exactly the physical realm. I wanted to understand the people on the street and how they were using it and what that meant. In terms of how, you know, where that was, how the street supported the kind of social network of the city. So I'm so excited to be here and thankful for where the studio has been. And we're getting up and running, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, okay, so Eric's been here, you know, since the beginning, and he's part of that legacy of the design studio. Mm-hmm. And Lindsay is not only new to the studio, but new to the city. But Sally, you know, you're young and you're a Chattanoogan, so you really kind of grew up while all the stuff that Eric was talking about was happening. So what was that like growing up in Chattanooga and now being part of the studio of an organization that really helped facilitate a lot of that?
I wasn't aware of Chattanooga's story growing up because it was just there for me, you know? And it was only later, probably toward the end of high school, that I realized the story, the incremental steps that had happened to get to where the city was, right? The aquarium opened when I was really young. But I think it's interesting even to see the difference in my attitude and sense of possibility in Chattanooga compared to my siblings who are 5 and 8 years older, right? So they thought, okay, I'm going to go to college. Chattanooga, I don't know, it's probably, I think the only restaurant, my brother says the only restaurant that was really downtown, that was a big deal when he was in high school was the Chili's that had just opened. And so, but by the time I was in high school, it had changed completely. I mean, Jack's Alley was full of life and it was really easy to go downtown and enjoy it. So I was lucky enough to be a little bit aware of that story and to have been introduced to it incrementally. But I think each of those small transformations, the stories like Eric's, connected me more with the place that I grew up in and humanized it and personalized it. It felt like it was a place where I could participate, you know? A lot of people say that, I think, about Chattanooga, that they live here because they feel that, you know, you can run into someone and they'll say, hey, have you met this person? You should know them. And that's the start of a really powerful friendship or collaboration, that you can be involved in the change and growth of the city. That's why I am here. That's why I moved back, because I just saw that the sense of community and collaboration is really strong here. That's what started all of Chattanooga's Renaissance, right? That's its foundation, at least in my view, is that collaboration. That was important to me in moving back, and I think that's foundational for our work at the studio too. So I'm glad to have found a home, I guess, that embodies the reasons that I even live here to begin with.
Well, that's fantastic, kind of, you know, talking about the legacy of the studio, but also hearing how each one of you really came into this and the passion you have for this. Now, you know, talking about the design studios today and really looking at your work, I love the way you divide it up on your website. You know, there's a tab on their website, chattanoogastudio.com, that says The Work. And it's split between programs and projects. And so that makes my job really easy in deciding how we're going to talk about that. So let's talk about your programs first. You know, Sally, I know you've been really involved. So your three programs, you have a lecture series, Curb, and Film Friday. And Sally, I know you're the one who runs a lot of the programming side of the design studio. So talk us through that. Tell us about the Robert Taylor lecture series.
We are so excited about this. It's a lecture series that started last fall. It's, you know, building the car as we go, but we were really lucky to be granted some seed money to start a lecture series. And so lecture series isn't maybe the sexiest title for an event, but what is really meaningful about it is that it allows a large swath of our community to come together, be in a room at the same time, and have a transformative educational experience about urban design without it feeling like school. So, you know, urban design, like we talked about, touches on a ton of different topics. You know, social justice threads and beautification are woven into that. There's so many different avenues. And so we've had two speakers so far. It's a quarterly series, and we hope to continue it indefinitely. Our next speaker will be Chuck Marone on May 3rd. And if you don't know Chuck and the work that he does at Strong Towns, I would definitely encourage listeners to check that out. I think that's going to be a great event.
Yeah, and that next lecture is actually going to be at the Camp House on May 3rd. So, and hopefully we can host those as long as you guys are having them in Chattanooga, because that's what we love to do, creating intellectual events for our city. Okay, so that's the lecture series. You got two others. Let's go with Film Friday.
Yeah, so Film Friday is in the same vein of the speaker series, but it's sort of a quick interaction. The thought is that...
It happens at lunch, right?
It happens at lunchtime on Friday, on the third Friday of the month. And we say, we'll buy you lunch. So you just come on in, lunch is provided, let's watch a short film together, and then talk about it. That's the whole format. It's an hour in and out, but it's really amazing what we can accomplish and dig into in a short amount of time. I think it fits in with our ethos that if we don't make the space for this conversation, it doesn't happen. And it's a way that we can do that and encourage people to see and think about our city and other cities differently just by having these quick check-ins and relationship building interactions.
Now, is that at the studio itself?
The location changes from time to time. We are moving that event to the Edney, actually, as part of an effort to make it more accessible and kind of meeting people where they are. We think that's a great collision space already. Mm-hmm. And so it's held on floor 5 moving forward.
Yeah. And I should have said this from the beginning. The thing we haven't said is the Chattanooga studio does have an office space on Cherry Street downtown. So they do have a physical location that you can walk in. They've got awesome maps on the wall, and it shows a lot of their work and just so much going on in Chattanooga. All right, so the last thing is CURB. What in the world is CURB?
Yeah, CURB explores the line that Eric mentioned between our education work, that's one of the three pillars of our work, and the advocacy branch of our work. So it's advocacy through action is the tagline for that group. The idea is that, you know, this is a common thread, bringing people together. It's easy for architects and landscape architects and planners and graphic designers and painters to have conversations that aren't with each other, you know, that are related to their professional expertise, and maybe not collaborative, but our work overlaps so much and our interests, the things that we geek out about and read in our free time are so related. And so if there's a way that we can come together and just get to know each other as a baseline, then that's great. And I think that would open a lot of possibility. But also, a lot of Chattanoogans are motivated to action. They moved here, you know, like Lindsay said, because they believe in the quality of the city and want to make it better and shepherd it into its next phase. So this is an outlet for them to do that in a way that is, you know, it's fun. It's not overly planned. It's a little bit off the cuff, but hip hop on the shuttle and traffic zebras all came out of an idea for what if we could do this? You know, could we pull this off?
There's a name for that, right? The name I've heard associated with CURB and some of these ideas is tactical urbanism.
Exactly.
So, yeah, what is tactical urbanism?
Yeah, tactical urbanism is taking on small projects that relate to long-term change you want to see in your city. So the project itself might be temporary. You know, it might just be pop-up, like, temporary street planters along a street that you think would benefit from having more trees. Maybe they're only there for a weekend, but the idea that trees would absolutely transform that street sticks with us, and it can be the foundation for that happening in the future. Temporary bike lanes or benches, even street festivals and events. Glasshouse Collective has done a few Better Block sort of weekend events where they you know, help people get a feel for what it would be like if all the storefronts on Glass Street were active and if people were really, you know, using the street and celebrating the neighborhood together. That's tactical urbanism too.
Great. Now, how can people connect with Curb?
We have a Facebook page. That's our primary mode of communication. Like I mentioned, it's pretty informal. So there's a page that we use to communicate about events that have happened, but there's also a group, and anybody can join the group. It's public. It has a couple hundred members now, and that is a great platform for sharing articles you found that were interesting, sharing ideas, sparking new projects, and that's all been organic growth. So there are two different ways to get plugged in. We also are starting up pretty regular meetings about every other month. We're going to get together. Like I said, the face-to-face interaction makes a huge difference for building those friendships.
All right. So that's some of the programming. Those are like ongoing things that you guys have in the works. And the other half of your work seems to be project-based. And so that's going to change over time. And, you know, on your website right now, you guys list three projects. The first one is Cityscapes, which I know, I don't think anybody in the room right now was actually part of that project, correct?
Not the original, no.
Yeah. The Cityscape. So I don't know how much we want to talk about this one, but Lindsay or Eric, can you tell us what was the Cityscapes project that the Chattanooga Design Studio took on back in 2016?
Sure. Cityscapes is really a three-part project, and envision is that the first volume of Cityscapes looks at a deep analysis of our public realm and looks at a long-term strategy for where we need improvement in the public realm. It looks at all of the critical components that make up a quality public realm, trees, lights, benches, quality sidewalks, and takes a deep assessment of where we are and the qualitative placemaking abilities of our public realm right now. And that is an additive process. So volume two looks at building edges, storefront components. It looks deeper into the public realm and its physical characteristics. How are we doing to balance those streets in their totality? And then volume three really ultimately is leading us towards some very key recommendations, and this is a future project, some very key recommendations about where we are with our public realm and how we can think about our public realm as a system of families of streetscape that really respond to the specific district in which they serve and in which they're located, the cultural aspects of those parts of our community, the ML King district, for instance, the Riverfront district. The streets in those districts, we feel that they should feel different. They should have a different intensity, a different pattern, a different tone, if you will, than one you would find in the South CBD or Center City.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's Cityscapes. It's a real deep urban design assessment.
Yeah, so I actually have a copy of... So each one of these projects actually has these books that are associated with them that shows a finished product. And all of those are online. And so they're going to be links in the show notes to this episode where you guys can really check out these booklets that we're talking about. The Cityscapes project in particular, Volume 1, has an urban design vocabulary in it. So I highly recommend people checking that out. But all I'm seeing is Cityscapes 1. Has the Volume 2 been published yet?
Volume 2 we're working on currently.
Okay, great. And then Volume 3 is something. So I'm actually glad to hear that that's like an ongoing project. It's going to take different... take different approaches. But yeah, I can't wait for volume two. That's the one that's going to show the building facades, right?
And right. Facade architecture. It looks into not only the history and the culture.
Yeah.
Last summer, our four interns really dissected those key building components of streetscapes.
Yeah.
This is a much deeper dive than if you liked volume one, volume two is a much deeper dive into our public realm.
Yeah. So we're sitting in the, like I said, the second floor studio of the library, where we record all our podcasts, and probably my favorite window view of the city is actually right outside, of the second floor of the library facing east. You're looking up 11th Street, and it's the reason it's so beautiful is because you look up 11th Street. First of all, you see trees, but then you see the Edney, which is a much more modern structure. You see Patton Towers, this historic hotel in our city, and then you see the original courthouse. And so it's like these three generations of buildings you can see right up 11th Street. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see that study just because it is so much more interesting and fascinating when you walk through a city and you see so many different generations of buildings, mm-hmm. and the kind of beauty that creates within a city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one thing I might add to that is that Eric mentioned that it's tied to our internship program. And while that's not doesn't specifically fall under projects or programs, it's a pretty robust piece of what the studio does. Maybe it does deserve to be under programs. I'm not sure. But
it has its own page.
It does. It has its own page. But the Cityscapes study has largely been fueled by our internship program. And so we have an internship program that runs year round, and we are fortunate to have a pretty robust program right now. We have we have two right now, but we had three spring interns. We'll have three over the course of the summer. And so we get students from locally, but we also get students from other cities in the Southeast. And I think we've had students as far as, I don't know, Virginia or anyways, that it's a really cool piece of our work. And it's an opportunity for students to really dive into Chattanooga and urban design, but it's equally exciting for us because we are inspired by and learn from the students just as much as they come to Chattanooga to learn about urban design in the city.
And that's really carrying on the educational legacy of the original studio, where they would bring down UT students. Mm-hmm. Rather, this time you guys open it up to students from pretty much any university, any right. area. So mm-hmm. do those tend to be undergrads that you guys have as interns?
Typically.
Okay. Yep.
Well, great. Yeah, it's exciting to see how the interns are playing into sort of the work you guys are doing. Now, the next project that you guys have listed on your website, it hasn't been released yet. It says coming soon, but I want to be able to talk about it here. And it's called My Chat House. Now, Eric, I know something that you're kind of passionate about is so much of the urban design, the urban planning stuff that we talk about in the city of Chattanooga tends to be downtown centric. And this is really the studio's attempt to sort of push those boundaries outside of maybe the downtown core, to focus on areas of our city that maybe haven't received this sort of detailed planning that downtown has. So tell us what is My Chat House, this next project you guys are working on?
My Chat House, the goal is to provide a resource to our community, to homeowners, to builders, to neighbors, to anyone who is thinking about improving their community one increment at a time. And that's really how our neighborhoods grow and evolve. My Chat House should be your resource for reinforcing the character that exists in all of our first-ring neighborhoods. First-ring is a kind of a catchy term. But
sure,
that's,
I live in Highland Park. That would be a first-ring neighborhood.
That's a first-ring right. neighborhood. These are all of the neighborhoods that have streets that touch directly to downtown. The geographical scope of this is quite large. It's all of the eastern neighborhoods, Oak Grove to Glass Farms and Riverview, North Chattanooga, Hill City. Most pattern books in legacy, the pattern book is a way of guiding development and guiding pattern and creating a common vernacular. This pattern book is sort of the reverse of that. It's recognizing a vernacular, and it's providing a sense in which you can reinforce that and reinforce that character in a meaningful way. And I know you're going to be surprised, but it centers itself on the public realm. It really does. The spaces that we share between porches, in this case, probably. We believe it's the first online version of a pattern book ever developed. Most of them are printed books. Most of them are printed classic books that you can find, and they're very rare.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. This is an online pattern book, and we've organized the content in a very personal manner. And it's organized as such as my neighborhood, my street, my house, and my yard. And the topics of which are all classified in that manner. So my street breaks down what it means to live on a street with a verge, parking on the edge, and the cartway where motorists are supposed to drive at a slow rate. And what does all that mean when it's put together and makes a safe, beautiful place to live? So we're really excited about this. We will begin over the next month meeting with neighborhood organizations and with realtors and others involved in the true act of renovating and beautifying neighborhoods one piece at a time.
Have you actually read that book by Christopher Alexander?
Absolutely.
Parts of it, yes.
I've got a couple copies of it.
I call it a gateway drug to urban design.
Yeah, that's great.
I didn't read it.
I'm just impressed if you read the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't read it linearly because I would get distracted by the illustrations and go, oh, this looks interesting. Oh, what about this?
Well, that's what's fun about it is it's like 3 pages on this and then, you know, I can close it. You know, like it's not a...
Exactly.
It's something that's easy to come back to and pick up and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's relevant to that project because it's in the same vein of sometimes we talk at a 10,000 foot level and it can be hard to figure out as a person who lives in a neighborhood how you plug into it and how to even learn more about what urban design is and what the principles are that make great streets. And I also think that it's rare that we celebrate the neighborhoods that we're talking about, that we really give them their due. We're celebrating them because they have this beautiful fabric that they've done so much right. They have these great historic homes and these nice little front yards, and it's worth honoring those historic neighborhoods in Chattanooga. We think this is one way that we can start doing that.
Mm-hmm. The development of the pattern book in large part is much like cityscapes.
So it is looking at the history and what is actually there.
Correct. Okay. It's an urban design assessment,
yeah,
and it's really clarifying what makes your neighborhood, if you live in Highland Park, what makes your neighborhood so special and why its placemaking characteristics are completely different than other neighborhoods in the city. Cool. And I think that as we begin to meet with neighborhood leaders and community leaders, I think that will become apparent exactly how this resource can be available for you. We actually took this pattern book the entire way to home plans. We felt like we might as well admit what people do in Chattanooga is they find a house elevation and a plan that they like, and they go build it from that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to get more complicated than that. And so we seeded this online resource with home plans named them after the streets in the Valley Grid. So
that's so exciting.
There's the Arlington and absolutely. And they're modest. They're very, very modest, following the vernacular that you find in these neighborhoods. So everything from the 800 square foot craftsman home to a 1,200 square foot colonial.
Yeah, and this, I think, is really tooled for Chattanooga. So how awesome for Chattanooga to have a toolkit that is specifically crafted for our city. And I think that's it. It's not prescriptive for the neighborhoods. It's a toolkit and a resource that, you know, we hoped to eventually, you know, to give over the ownership of it to the neighborhoods that eventually it might not even live on the Chattanooga Design Studios website. It might live on the Neighborhood Association's website, and that they're going to, you know, the hope is that they would really take, the neighborhoods would take ownership of the resource.
So when's the planned release date for this?
At the current time, we're making the final edits to the site itself. We're talking about mid-April. That's probably a very realistic date.
Good. Thank you so much to Eric, Lindsay, and Sally for stopping in and sharing more about the work of the Chattanooga Design Studio. If you can't tell, I love, love, love talking about urban design. And what I love about it is that urban design is this incredible mix of buildings and sidewalks and parks and the public spaces in between that make life in cities enjoyable and interactive. And at the heart of all of it are people. Like we discussed in the podcast, there are all kinds of professionals planning the future of our city, architects and city planners. But what I find consistently is that urban designers are those voices who remind everyone that the reason we are doing all of this is for people. For those who live here, past, present, and future. And if you ever study the renaissance or rejuvenation of our city over the past 40 years, you'll find that one of the keys to Chattanooga's success is that we've done this really, really well. And it's because of urban design and planning that so many of us enjoy living in this city today. Speaking of planning, next week I'll release the second half of our conversation, which focuses entirely on the South Broad District, an area of our city that includes the Old Foundries, the Howard School, and the Southside Gardens neighborhood. And if you want to get a head start on that episode, you can check out the released plan in our show notes to this episode and have a better idea of the ideas and vision that we'll be discussing. As always, I want to thank our studio sponsor, the Chattanooga Public Library, and specifically Charles Allison, who helped produce this episode. And thank all of you for taking time to listen. Our goal with the Camp House Podcast is to be a resource that connects, informs, and inspires you about what is happening here in your city.
And so if you found that to be the case, then please take a moment to leave us a rating and a review and share this podcast with a friend. Again, thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week. And until then, have a great day.